But no African time tomorrow. We are here exactly at 4. They said they'll be here at 3:30. We were there with Pastor Kak, and they said, by 3:30, are we going to be late at 3:30? I told them, I was like, okay, African, they try a little bit, but anyway. But they'll be here at 3:30, exactly at 4. We are on time. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Wonderful. Pastor Tony, we are so gracious for working with you to make sure this meeting is moving on. Like I said last Sunday, the minute we learn to appreciate the gift in the house, that's the only time we get the prophetic gift. Can I repeat that? It is the minute we go back, we appreciate the gift, we are able to draw from prophetic gift. Does somebody hear what I say? I know you are working double, triple, trying to be rich, trying to break through. I want to show you a shortcut. Appreciate the gift in the man of God. Come on, if you hear me, lift up your hand. Amen. Before I invite man of God, I see a evangelist Hilda. Wonderful. I know we'll be here tomorrow, right? Amen. We shall have time. Just say hi. Amen. It's wonderful to have you. And I believe tomorrow we have time to know one another. Amen. I know there's coming conference, right? Amen. Now, I don't want to take much time. I want to invite the man of God. Let me say this. It is only what is prepared in the mind touches the mind. What is prepared in life touches life. What is prepared in the spirit, you touch the spiritual man. Tonight is not only a head knowledge, having a big head with a small spirit. Come on, do you hear what I said? Having a big head with 10 principles and 20 oracles and 15 steps backward and forward to reach God. Amen. But I want to say this. The man of God I'm about to bring to you, he has been in the spirit, something prepared in the spirit. He is going to release a spiritual impact in your life. Jesus said, when he was breaking the bread, he said, I'm breaking my life for you. In other words, there was something that was prepared in life that he was breaking to the people. He is still going to break his life unto you. Paul said, what has been entrusted to me, I'm entrusting to you. That's what we call ministry. I don't want to take much time. We are so much privileged to have the servant of God in the house. And I want to say it has taken the heart of God for us to connect. I don't want to give a lot of ceremony, but I want to you to open your heart. Don't let anything stop you. Turn off your phone. Don't let your kids call you. Don't let your supervisor call you. And I want us to welcome the man of God. I want us to close our eyes 1 minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus upon each and every mind in this place. I pray the blood of Jesus will cleanse every mind. I pray in the name of Jesus that our mind will respond to the word of God. I break every resistance in the spirit right now. And I declare, Satan, you are defeated in Jesus' name. I capture every mentality and subject it to one God in Jesus' name. I pray that God, you shall bless us tonight. Speak to us, thy servant, hear it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before he comes off, I thank the great couples that has come with the man of God. One thing that I'm so glad there's so much anointing that you'll be left in my house, that the next few days I'll have a religion that people will be coming to my house to pick the anointing. So I want us to stand up on our 2 feet. Come on, are you glad tonight? Yes. The man of God has been in Africa, no African dance. And I want us to be crazy 1 minute before he comes over. And I want us to shout for joy. I want us to roll aloud. Actually, he has been in Kenya. He was asking me, is there the African dance here? The Kenyan dance. So I want us to, the keyboard person, come here 1 minute. I want us to have that kind of distorted noise. And let every demon knows we are here. Amen? Amen. Are you ready? Hallelujah. I'll say 1, 2, 3. At that time, God bless your dignitaries. Forget about it. We are going to be close a little bit. Amen. 1, 2, 3. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, most of the people did something. Mama Mobi, Pastor Morefu never did a lot because the ceiling is still in shape. So I want us to say another time. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Amen. With the joy of the Lord, please help me to welcome the man of God. Amen.
Amen. One is a freeway. Yesu nakupenda. It's good to be with you. I love you. I'm excited today because we're reaching out to the Kenyans here in our country, and I get to be a missionary. Amen. Without leaving my own shores, I get to reach out to people who I love. I love you as Kenyans. I've been from one end of Kenya to the other, preached many places, and I'm excited to be with you tonight, and I'm excited to pour out the word of the Lord into your life tonight. And so I love Kenya. My wife and I have both preached there, and so we're excited to be with you, and my message tonight will really encourage you to reach those around you. And so please feel free to be seated. I'm going to get right into the word without wasting any of your time. But before I do, I want to talk with you a little bit about a story. I remember I was doing a evangelistic festival up in Eldoret, and we were just on a small platform, not one of my large platforms, but just on a fairly small platform, and we had a great crowd there, and I don't remember the name of the field, but one of the large fields there, and a man came who was totally stuck in his arm. His arm was unable to move, and when God touched him in the midst of our praying for the sick, he had not been able to lift his arm at all. And he kept doing this. I just remember he kept going like this, and tears were coming down his eyes as Jesus healed him. And I want you to know that it doesn't matter if you're in Eldoret or Ecuador. That it doesn't matter if you're in Seattle or San Antonio. That it doesn't matter if you're in Los Angeles or Laos. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is never going to change. Yes. What needs to change is me and you. Yes. That's what needs to change. And most of the time, what needs to change more than anything else is what's between our ears. Because when we hook up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with whom nothing is difficult, let alone impossible, yes. Nothing is difficult for him. And we'll see that in the message today later. But I want you to know that as that man stood upon that simple wooden platform, having heard the message that Jesus Christ is alive, that he never changes, and that he's ready to do a miracle in your life. Did you hear that last part? Not only is he alive and he never changes, but he's ready to do a miracle in your life. At that message, he began to move what could not move. He began to do what could not be done. Nobody touched him. There were no hands laid on anybody. There was no man involved. There was just a message of authority that comes from the heavens itself, from the King who sits upon the very throne of God, that his power will come to you and change where you are. And that man began to move his arm. When he changed what he thought, when he began to believe what the word said, his life changed and his body changed. Listen carefully, your change is going to come through your ears. It's going to come into your mind and into your heart. And faith is going to mix and your world is going to change. Amen? And so I wanted to have you turn with me for just a moment. If you brought a Bible, I'll read it to you if you haven't. But if you've brought a Bible with you, go ahead and turn to Luke today. We're going to read from the 5th chapter. We'll begin with a story I'm pretty sure that you're familiar with. Many of you, some of you, it may be brand new, in which case I'm privileged to be able to share it with you for the first time. But Luke chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 17, and we'll read through verse 26. Luke chapter 5. Some of you are there before me. And it came about one day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some of the men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in. Say, no way.
No way.
Because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived through their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to this man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all. And they all glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. Hallelujah. I want to talk with you for a minute about a man who had a problem, a real problem, an impossible problem, a problem he could not solve. He couldn't handle it. And maybe you're in that condition yourself today. Maybe your problem is not the problem he had. But maybe today you bring a problem with you cannot solve. Today I'm here to tell you Jesus can solve it. Whatever your problem is, no matter how much you think it's impossible, and you may have come in here convinced your problem is impossible. This man did. This man didn't even come on his own initiative. He didn't bring his problem because he thought there was an answer. Somebody else brought him with him. And they were committed to bringing him. And I want you to note that they were in Galilee, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders, the lawyers, and the teachers of the law were there from every village in Judea. We're talking hundreds of villages in Judea. And every village all around them, and from Galilee and from Jerusalem, from the capital, from the city. That's like saying the leaders from Washington, D.C. came to Dallas. It doesn't happen all that often. Okay? But that's the kind of crowd that Jesus was drawing. He was drawing the scribes and the Pharisees. All the leaders were packing in to see him. And in the midst of that situation, four guys got a vision. Four gentlemen. We don't know who they are. We don't know what their names are. We don't know if they had any spiritual authority or any spiritual place. All we know is that they carried him. That they decided that if they would get him to Jesus, Jesus would meet his need. And they decided before they ever left the guy's house. So much so that when they got to the meeting, I don't know, maybe you've been to a meeting like this before where when you walk in or when you get to the door, you can see all the important people in the room. That's what happened. They saw the legislators of the nation. Listen, these were the leaders of the nation. They were the ones, like we have lawyers and we have senators and we have congressmen. These were those people because in their situation, the temple and the synagogue was where the law was all executed. So these were the leaders. And when these guys, these four guys with the paralytic, get to the house and they look inside, they see the leaders of all the villages all around them. And they still don't say, well, we better watch out. These are the leaders of the nation. Look, there's so-and-so from Jerusalem. No. What do they say? We'll get him in anyway. Listen to me now. Because this is just a little commercial in my message. Okay? It's an important commercial, but this is just a little commercial in my message. Because you see, it's their decision that changes this man's life. It's their faith that changes this man's life. And see, tonight, you're here. And the paralyzed man is somewhere else. But tomorrow night, it doesn't have to be that way. Because you can become one of these men. You can be the one like them who makes a decision. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get my friend who's paralyzed. That man couldn't come to the meeting if he wanted to. But he got changed for his whole life. It probably changed his whole village. When he'd been laying paralyzed for God only knows how long. And he got up and walked home with his bed on his shoulders. Not only did it impact all of those religious leaders from all over the nation, but I'm sure it radically changed his village. And some of you from villages all over Kenya here tonight, you know what I'm talking about. Because there's someone in your village who's paralyzed, or someone in your village back home who's deaf, or someone in your back home who's blind. I was just in Nepal last year, in the latter part of the year, and we were doing an outreach up in the mountains. We were deep into the Himalayan mountains, and we were installing solar panels and wood stoves, smokeless stoves, and lights inside of a whole village that had never seen electric light ever. And when they turned the lights on for the first time, we started preaching the gospel. And deaf people started hearing. I'm telling you, God moved. And that village of 180 people, an hour by air out into the Himalayas, 8,000 feet up in the air. Nobody was a Christian when we walked in. 180 folks, and 51 had made decisions before we walked out. And we walked. We walked in, we hiked 2 hours in, and we hiked 2 hours out. But listen carefully to me. The message of the gospel, it brings power and it brings deliverance. But somebody's got to choose to bring it to the people. And so you can go out and find that person, and you can bring them with you and decide that nothing's going to prevent you from getting them to Jesus. I remember we were in a small city in the state of Washington a number of years ago, and I was holding an evangelistic festival. And as I was preaching, people were getting healed and people were getting saved. And a woman came to me and she said, you know, I have a friend who is from Bulgaria and she's paralyzed from the waist down. Kind of like this guy who's paralyzed, laying at home, paralyzed. You know, that's what you do when you're paralyzed. You stay at home. Now, I know none of you have this problem. I know none of you come home from work and you're just paralyzed. And you think, oh, I'd like to get up and I'm just going to stay right here. Okay, this is an American spirit. It's called the spirit of paralysis. You're laughing, but it prevents America from accomplishing their mission in life. Because the devil wants to put the church to sleep. He wants to keep her asleep because God wants her to rise up and do something in her and not just stay home paralyzed. And this lady comes to me and says, I've got a friend. She's in this kind of a halfway house where many different people live who are partially sick. And she, I'm almost wondering if you would come and pray for her. I believe if you'll come and pray for her, she'll be sick or she'll be made whole. And I said, well, if you'll find one of the pastors here this week who will go with me as a local elder and stand with me, then I'll go. And she went off and found several. She came back about 5 minutes later. She said, I got two. And I said, okay, I'll go. You just arrange with them what time and we'll go. And we went off to this place and they walked us down several corridors and we got to this small little room where this lady was laying in her bed and she had someone there sitting with her and we walked in and the lady couldn't speak English. She spoke Bulgarian. And so they had an interpreter in the room and we began to talk. And as we began to talk, you know, I just felt she began telling us stories of the things that she had seen in Bulgaria, of the miracles. I mean, this woman was full of God. And she was telling us about miracles that she had seen in Bulgaria. Oh, and she must have told us 3 or 4 or 5. She preached me happy. Yeah. You know, and I'm just sitting there, and I just feeling the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost just growing. And so I got so excited. I said, I turned to the interpreter, and I said, can she get out of bed? Is she decent? Because, you know, she's in bed. She's paralyzed. She's not moving, and she's got her covers over her. And so the interpreter talks to her, and she says, yeah, you'll have to turn around and let her just adjust her robes and everything. So me and I got a pastor and a prophetic guy with me, and we turn around, and the prophetic guy whispers in my ear. He says, you know, I don't sense that this is going to happen. And I got my back to the woman that's paralyzed, and I got the prophet on one side telling me this is not going to happen, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, I said, I love you. I'm just not going to listen to him. And they fixed their robes, and we turned back around, and I began to talk to her, and she was sitting in her bed with the, you know, kind of leaning back on her pillows, and I went over, and I grabbed her hands, and I said, are you ready to walk? And she hadn't walked in like 5, 6 months. She'd been paralyzed. They didn't know exactly what was going on with her, and so I pulled her to the edge of the bed, and the prophet's just looking at me, and I just stopped looking at him. You know, I'm not going to look at that. And I pull her to the edge of the bed, and I get the pastor to come and take her other hand. And we get her up, and the interpreter's worried. You can see the worry in the interpreter's eyes. And we pull her to her feet, and she's standing there, you know, just like this. And we're holding both sides on her arms. And finally I tell the interpreter, let her go. Pastor, let her go. And they step back, and the interpreter's looking at me like, you are absolutely crazy. You know, and so I've got her hand, and she's standing here just like this, and I just let it go lightly, and I took a step back, and I said, now walk. And she leaned forward, and she started to go, and I could see in my mind the headlines, evangelist breaks paralyzed woman's nose, you know, and because I thought she was going straight down, and then her foot moved, just a little. And she leaned forward and her other foot moved just a little. And that happened 2 more times, just a little. And suddenly the power of God came on her. And she took 4 steps, turned around, jumped up into the air, and was instantly healed. Instantly healed. Now, listen, this woman had been paralyzed and she was bedridden and alone. And so they had gotten a couple of elementary school classes to begin writing to her. So they were writing her encouraging notes, and she would write back to the elementary class and everything else. So anyway, we start talking, and she's all excited, and pretty soon somebody comes in the room and finds out that she's standing there. And they're gone, and then there's 3 or 4 people in the room, and then we can't stand in the room, so we move out into the hallway. And then suddenly the hallway's filling up, and everybody is just freaking out because Jesus is alive. You know what happens? The elementary class finds out that she's healed, and they all come to the home. They come to see the woman that Jesus touched. And listen, this is what happens. When Jesus begins to move in the lives of people and the supernatural power of God flows through someone who believes. Come on now. Listen, somebody's got to believe. Yeah. Somebody's got to choose that the word is real and that it can happen today. That Jesus is who he says he is. And they came out to see it, and it still happens today. When Jesus moves, they come to see. When Jesus' power is released, everything changes. And so this paralyzed man is carried on his bed to Jesus. And they get him there, and there's so much crowd they can't get in. Have you ever been to a meeting you couldn't get in? Okay, I was watching TV just the other day, and they had this big stadium here in Dallas. It was so full, nobody could get in. So full, nobody could get in. They had a big TV outside just so that people that couldn't get in could see what was going on inside. I think that's what it was like at Jesus' meetings. These guys were so intense, they carried this guy up on the roof. Can you imagine this with me? They got a rickety old bed they carried him on to this house. And they say, we can't get in. We can't get in the door. We can't get in the windows. Let's climb up on the roof. We'll drag him up on the roof. And then we'll tear the roof off. And we'll do it right over the top of where Jesus is. That's a chore in and of itself. Figuring out, where is he in the house? Oh, yeah. Get up on the roof and say, well, you know, I think it's right here. We'll tear the tiles off right here, and we'll just lower him down right. Like, this is crazy. Just carrying him up on the roof. How would you like to carry a man, a full-grown man, up on the roof of any house? Even if we were in Africa. Okay, let's say we were out in Kenya, out in one of the small villages, just getting a guy up on top of the mud hut. Wouldn't be an easy job. These people were committed to seeing him get Jesus. Just get him in front of Jesus and everything will change. That's what they said. If we just get him in front of Jesus, everything will change. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a roof. Do you have a roof? You sleep under a roof? What would happen if you were at home and suddenly you were sitting there talking and you started seeing dust coming down off the roof? And then suddenly there was a hole. What would you do? What are you doing up there? You'd want to know what they were doing if they start ripping a big hole. Can you imagine how big a hole you'd have to rip to lower a guy on a bed down inside your house? They ripped a hole big enough to put a bed. The guy couldn't move. And they ripped a hole big enough to put a bed. I imagine there was a big problem going on. I imagine the guy that owned that house was out and out the door as quick as he probably couldn't get out because there was too many people in there. But he's trying to get out so he could stop them from ripping the roof up. Listen, somebody had to fix that roof. You ever had to fix a roof? I'm selling a house right now. I'm selling one of my rentals. And they had to fix the roof. I had to pay for it. You know, somebody had to pay for that. They counted the cost when they brought this man to Jesus. They knew somebody was going to have to pay to fix that roof. See, this is real life, guys. We all have issues in our lives. We all have stuff in our lives. We all are going to have to count the cost of how we're going to live for Jesus and what we're going to pay in order for people to get to Jesus. What price have you paid recently so that someone who needs him can get there? What price? I'm almost willing to guess nothing. Because often that's what we Americans pay to ensure that people get to Jesus. Nothing. We put our tithe in the bucket as it goes by, and we maybe give a little offering, and we do nothing to see people that need Jesus, that are stuck on the outside, find Jesus. And God wants to help you become like those four men. Listen, as they lowered him down in front of Jesus, they were afraid. What if he doesn't heal him? They're lower. They've got the ropes. I'm imagining there's ropes because I don't know how else they'd lower him down from the roof without a rope. But they're lowering him down right in front of Jesus while Jesus is teaching. You've got to have some guts to break up one of Jesus' teaching sessions. He's got every important leader in the whole nation from every village. I didn't write it. That's what it said. Every village. Sit right there listening to his teaching. And they're lowering him down saying, I sure hope he heals them. I sure hope we're not going to get in trouble for this and Jesus is going to get mad at us. But we're going to get him there anyway, no matter what happens. Have you ever worked so hard to get someone to Jesus you were afraid Jesus might get mad at you? Well, that's an acid test to our evangelism, isn't it? And here's the interesting thing. It says that Jesus saw their faith. Yes, yes, yes. He saw their faith. They lowered that man right in front of Jesus in the midst of his teaching, in front of all the elders of Israel. And Jesus, in the midst of all the elders, he wasn't thinking, well, now what are all the elders going to think? He could have thought that. No, it says what Jesus noticed was their faith. And I want you to notice, Jesus didn't notice the paralyzed man's faith. It says Jesus saw their faith. Does he see yours? Does he see your faith today? See, because faith is visible. Faith reaches into the invisible world and pulls into the visible world what is impossible. And it's visible. And as Jesus turned and he saw their faith, he spoke to the man. And now I want you to realize, we don't know much about this paralyzed man. We don't know how long he's been paralyzed. We don't know what caused his paralysis. We don't know what kind of life this man lived. They are in Samaria. We don't even know if this man is an Israelite for certain. He may have been from some other kind of, they're in Galilee. We don't know exactly what it is about this man. But what Jesus turns to him, Jesus does not say, "You're healed." I find that so interesting. He doesn't, what does he say? He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Hallelujah. Yes. Listen to me today, no matter what your condition today is, Jesus wants you to know he has forgiven your sins. He paid the price at Calvary. He'll never pay it again. Right. It's already done. The finished work of the cross has fulfilled the promise that God made that he would come and atone for your sins. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. The new covenant is that you no longer have to pay for your sins. You no longer have to live in accordance with a set of principles and laws and rules and regulations so that you're a covenant people. No, the new covenant says because of what he did, you're a covenant people. Hallelujah. Because of what he did, you have the promises of God. Amen. And it's already done. He turns to him and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Hallelujah. And tonight, see, your sins can be washed away. They can be white as snow. I don't care what you've done or where you've been hiding. There's some of you here today, there's secret sin in your life, and nobody knows about it. Let me talk to you for just a minute about secret sin, because secret sin is deadly. Because it gets its hook in you. In secret, in darkness, the devil has power. That's the only place he has any power, is in darkness. And the moment that you begin to hide in darkness, the devil can get his hook in you, and he can hold you. And the bonds of wickedness can get a hold of you in that darkness. But listen, Jesus broke the power of shame. He broke the power of death and the grave. And today, he can set you free from the bond of wickedness. If you're in secret sin, today is your day to be totally set free. But you know what? There's one way to get out of darkness and to break that bond, and that's to come to the light. You may have read in the scriptures in the book of John where the Bible talks about the fact that those who love darkness refuse to come to the light. But listen, if you'll bring your darkness to the light, Jesus will make it gone. The Bible says that he'll take your sins and he'll cast them into the sea of forgetfulness and he'll remember them no more. Now that's good news. You know why? Because God does not have the capacity to forget. He chooses to forget. He doesn't just forget things. He chooses to remember them no more. That's a choice by the one who can't forget anything. Hallelujah. And that's what he'll do tonight. If you'll come to him, he's already forgiven you. Now he's ready to break the bonds of that darkness that holds you in prison and makes you feel so ashamed. Listen, God wants to remove the shame. He loves you. He paid the penalty for it already so that you could be free and not bound. Hallelujah. And that's what happened as they lowered this man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks out at all the authorities, all the attorneys. They knew every word in the book. The Pharisees, the Bible said, the teachings of the Jewish people say the Pharisees had to memorize the first five books of the Bible by the time they were 5 years old. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had to have the whole thing memorized by 5 years old. These people were sitting there. They knew every little jot and tittle of the law. And Jesus looks at them. And then he looks at the man and says, your sins are forgiven. And immediately their minds are running through the scriptures. And they're going, oh, wait a minute. Where does he get that kind of authority? Only God can forgive sin. Doesn't he know what the scriptures says? Well, don't they know who he is? He is God. Standing right in front of them, God himself. And Jesus, knowing exactly what's going on in their mind, he says something, and I want you to pay close attention here, because this is going to rock your world, and it's going to change you. Because Jesus turns to them and says, which is easier? Go ahead and say it. Come on, say it again. Just go ahead and say it again. Jesus did not say which is harder. See, because they were ticked off because the paralyzed man needed healing, and he's telling him your sins are forgiven, and Jesus wants him to know which is easier, that I say your sins are forgiven, or that I say rise up and walk. So he's really saying, which is easier, that I heal you or that I forgive your sins? Which is easier? Now, all these scribes and Pharisees, now they've been asked a question. They are in the test of God. Okay, they are in their final exam. And they are about to fail. And they are sitting there rocking their brains. Which is easier? Which is easier? That he say, their sins are forgiven? Is that what, where does it say that? Where is that? I think that was in Hesitations. Hesitations 6:2. No, it's not there. No, which is easier? That he says, rise up and walk? Where does it say that in the scripture? And they're searching their minds to figure out which is easier. And you know, they can't figure it out. And Jesus doesn't care if they can figure it out. Because the reality is they're both easy. The reality is, for Jesus, they're both easy. He heals the sick. He forgives sin. And it's all easy. But for the religious people, it's very, very hard. Listen, for religious people, supernatural power of God is very, very difficult. They can't see it happen because they're so caught up in their religion, in their rules, in their regulations, that they miss the very power of God. And Jesus, right in front of them, is trying to get them to realize, guys, this is easy stuff. This is not difficult. I do this as an intermission to my teaching. That's what he's trying to tell them. This is easy. I do this because, you know, he stopped my message, but I'm going to show you this is easy, and then we'll finish up. And that's right, give the Lord some. Look, he says, hey, take up your bed and walk. Notice he changes his whole statement. And so the guy picks his bed up in front of all these people, slings it over his shoulder, and I can see him smiling at all of them. You know, just for just a second, I bet he just stood there and looked at them. And then he waltzed out of there, and I bet the sea parted as he headed for the door. You know what I mean? I bet those lawyers and the Pharisees, they were all moving as this guy's got his bed with him. He's heading out the door, baby. And I can see the guys up on the roof going, man, I'm so glad he did that. Because I was sure we were going to be in big trouble. Now listen, he got up and walked. He got up and walked out of there, and he walked into his everyday life. And the miracle power of God began to impact everyone around him. And listen, that's why we're here. See, we are a seed planted in the earth. Planted here for the very purpose of leavening the whole earth. That's why we're here. And God wants to use your life, just like he used that paralytic man, just like he used those four men who were faithful and full of faith, so full of faith, Jesus saw their faith. And you know what the testimony of all of the religious leaders of the whole nation, you know what it was? We have seen amazing things today. Not we have learned. Something. Look, they were with the best teacher who's ever walked the face of the earth. This guy could teach. And they had gathered for his teaching, and they walked away saying, we have seen. I want you to note this. This is people who are strategically interested in learning and teaching. That is their occupation. And they are learning from the Word himself. The embodiment of the Word himself is teaching them that day, and they walk away saying, we have seen. I want you to know, when I was in Nepal this last year, one of the things I found so interesting, I worked with lots of different genres of the church. Baptists, Presbyterians, there were all kinds of different people that we talked with in the process. One of the things I found out there is that in every church in Nepal in the last 10 years, the last 20 years really, the thing that has led more people to Christ than anything else has been a demonstration of Christ's power. Yes. Miracles happening in the church, everywhere in the church. And people seeing it. And everybody agreeing, Jesus is powerful. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. And people getting right with God, not because they heard the message of the truth, but because they saw Jesus. They saw something amazing, and it's been transforming Nepal. Now, I want to ask you, one of my friends in Nepal had sent me an email just the other day and asked us to be praying for Nepal because they're having a transition in their government, and they're afraid they're going to really clamp down on the proclamation of the gospel. So pray for the Nepalese church, would you please? Remember them. They need our prayers. They're in desperate need. But listen carefully now. The real element is, are you ready to believe? Are you ready to leave behind your unbelief? Now, this man had some friends who lifted him up onto the roof. I can almost hear him as he's being lifted. What are you guys doing? Wait, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go up there. What are you doing to me? Sometimes we have to be dragged along in our spiritual walk. Sometimes we're not ready. Maybe that's you today. And you're stuck somewhere in your situation, in your spiritual walk. I want to drag you out of where you are and into your faith. Because see, it's not my faith, it's your faith that's going to change your world. It's your faith. Just like the man who brought his son to Jesus who was demon-possessed. Maybe you know the story. This young boy was thrown into the fire and thrown into the water. And over again, as time went on, he brought him to Jesus. And he said, if you can, Jesus. If you can, please have mercy on us. Jesus said, no, buddy, you got it all wrong. This is the John Moon translation. Okay, so just bear with me here. There's lots of translations out there. But in the John Moon translation, he said, no, buddy, you're all wrong. It's not if I can, it's if you can. Listen, it's not if God can, God can. God is able. He's able. God is able. It's not if he can. It's if you can. And today I want you to know you can. You can. Step out of that place, whatever it is that's holding you back. Let me drag you into faith today. Because your miracle
is here in the house tonight. I'm telling you, I've been all over the world and I've seen miracles everywhere. United States, I was in a small town holding an evangelistic crusade in a very small town in Oregon. We were praying and people were being healed and good things were happening. And a man was sitting in the second row, right where Russ is sitting, right there. And there were people stretched across the thing and we were praying for all kinds of people. And the Lord said, pray for him. And I just reached out. I didn't know what was wrong with the guy. I just laid my hands on the guy, prayed for him. And suddenly he kind of slumped down in the chair and he started bawling and crying. He turned and spoke to his wife and she started bawling and crying. The guy was born blind in his right eye. David Ramsch, still know him. Healed instantly. Listen, miracles happen in the United States as easy as they do anywhere else. It's not if he can. It's if you can. Can you get your miracle today? Are you willing to tear the roof off? What price are you willing to pay? Are you willing to come to Christ and say, here I am, Lord. I love you. I can't tell you how many times I've stood on platforms and seen miracles in nations all over the world. God has a miracle for you. And I want to pray for you. Would you stand with me? Draw near to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus Christ existed in heaven from all eternity past. Jesus. And that at the bidding of the Father, he left heaven and he came to earth. That he was born of the Virgin, that he lived a perfect and a sinless life. And that at the hands of godless men, they nailed him to the cross. And as he hung upon that cross, the Bible teaches very clearly that God took my sin and your sin and placed it in the very body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who was perfect and sinless, became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And the Bible says that he died and paid the penalty for sin, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he demonstrated the fact that he was risen for 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven and sat down upon the throne of God. And listen carefully to me today. I'm here to proclaim to you that he is the King of glory. He is the Lord, strong and mighty. That he rules the kingdom of heaven. And that the kingdom of heaven is here now. And that you have the privilege of living in the kingdom if you want to. That because he died, he can offer you a pardon. He can offer you freedom from sin. He can offer you a birth into his kingdom. That you can be a son of the living God. That's the offering today from Jesus Christ. If you're willing to come to him. If you're willing to put your trust in the fact that he died upon that cross and rose again from the dead. He'll come to live in your heart, forgive your sins, and give you the gift of eternal life. The question tonight is, are you willing to turn from your sins? Are you today willing to put your trust in the King of Kings and turn from your sins? And if that's you, I want to pray with you. And I don't know if you're here today and you've never made that kind of decision. Maybe that's you and you're ready for the first time to say, Jesus, I need you. I remember when I made that decision. I didn't know anything about God, but I knew I needed him to change me. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand if that's you. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? I'm only going to take a moment if that's you and you know in your heart you're supposed to respond. Respond quickly. Put your hand up. Anybody at all? Quickly, I'm going to move on. Don't miss your moment of opportunity. You may be here today and you're just away from God. You've trusted in God, but you're separated from Him, and you know by your sins. And you're caught in your sins. And you're living in your sins, and you don't want to. And you want to be free tonight. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Anybody at all? Quickly now. Quickly. I'm moving on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord. We've preached the gospel of the kingdom. We've told them about your authority, Jesus, and how you reign in heaven and sit upon the throne and rule in righteousness, and that you, Lord, will return one day in glory and power to judge the living and the dead. We worship you, Jesus. Now, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, according to your word, to send the power from heaven. Confirm your word, Lord, as we preach the gospel of the kingdom. Confirm it with signs and wonders now in our midst, as you promised in your word, that you would confirm it. Send your power, Lord. If you need healing, you need a miracle tonight, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. There's one. Anybody else, raise your hand up. You need healing. You need a miracle. There's sickness in your body, sickness in something. Maybe there's a broken heart you need healed. Whatever it might be, lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I take authority over every sickness and disease right now under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind it now. Sickness, disease, be bound and come out now in the name of Jesus. Be healed. I lose the gift of healing. I command your bodies to be whole. I lose the gift of the working of miracles now. In Jesus' name, restructure every single organ, Lord God. Make them whole. I come against diabetes now in the name of Jesus. Make those pancreases whole in Jesus' name. Heart disease in Jesus' name, you come out now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Right now, I come against epilepsy in the name of Jesus. I bind you, you foul thing. You come out of that body. I command the brain waves to be normal in Jesus' name. Father, we worship you. Thank you for healing now. Receive the power of God. Go ahead, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Your presence, Holy Spirit. We worship you in this place. We honor you as God, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the privilege to work together with you here on earth. We thank you that you are our leader. We turn to you, Holy Spirit, and we worship you. We honor you. We ask you, show us what to do. Lead us today, Lord God. We thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus. For your goodness to us, for your healing power here in our midst, how you're healing your children right now, Lord God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Shalom. You know, God's healing, you need to just test yourself. Some of you are already healed. Just test yourself and see what God is doing, because I know the power of God is here. He's, just as it said in the Word, the power of God was there to heal. It's here. It's present to heal. Receive your power. Receive the anointing of Jesus. And be whole. Now, as I prepare to close, listen carefully to me. I want to talk to you very sincerely that God wants to make you the one who goes and gets somebody who's in desperate need. Look, you know people in desperate need. And they can't come on their own. Most people who are in desperate need won't go because they're embarrassed already. They're going to say, what are those people going to think of me? I don't know any of those people. They'll probably won't walk me around. They won't accept me. Listen, take on the heart of God. You know, Jesus, the heart of Jesus, he came at the bidding of his Father. He left everything. He left all of his glory. He left all of his power. He left his place. Listen, he filled the universe. Jesus knew no bounds. He filled the whole universe. And he left all of that to take on a physical frame that he still has today for you and I. He left all of that, and he left his comfort zone, and he came to earth so that he could rescue you and I. Listen, today and tomorrow you have an opportunity to go rescue somebody. Leave your comfort zone. Leave your place. Leave what you're used to. Leave your glory. Maybe you're going to have to humble yourself like Jesus did in order to go and rescue them. But listen, there's somebody out there that needs you to rescue them. Go rescue them. And let's work together tomorrow. And let's rescue people. Listen, there's going to be testimonies tomorrow of the people that are here that have already been healed. But there'll be even greater testimonies. Because Jesus is alive. He's still doing today what he's always done. And it's easy for him. It's not which is harder. He's not working at it. He just says, rise up and walk. And so listen, before I turn it over to Pastor, I just want to know who's here has already been healed. You know it. You're already experiencing your freedom. Where are you? A lot of people raise their hand for healing. Where are you? Okay. You know you're healed, right? Okay. Will you come up here for just a minute with me? I did not pay this woman. My name is John. What is your name?
I'm Nancy.
Will you tell them what happened? What were you feeling when you came in? What was the problem?
I had a fracture for some time, and my leg was still hurting, though. But now there's no pain.
So a fracture, and their leg was hurting, but now there's no pain?
Yes, there's no pain.
Where was it? Which leg was it?
Leg.
The right leg?
Yes.
And so you're gonna, are you able to come tomorrow? Will you come and tell everybody what happened to you tomorrow?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Who else? Who else been healed? Anybody else? Come on. I know it takes some time to get people willing to come up here and talk to people. But listen, give glory to God. I know there's others. I know. Don't be the lepers, the nine that turned and didn't say nothing. Just went the other way. Listen, Jesus is healing, and the power of God's going to flow. Eyes are going to open. The ears are going to open. Paralyzed will walk because we work together. Amen? It's a body ministry. I love you. God bless you.
Come on, let's go ahead and give Jesus a better hand. Amen. We may be seated for a minute. Now, if I forget everything, I can remember this one thing. Four guys had faith for that man who was paralyzed. Do you know, stop complaining so-and-so is so paralyzed doesn't come to church. Where is your faith for that guy? Come on, did you hear it or I heard it alone? Four guys, they decided, you don't go to church, you are sick, you're still complaining, you go to any place you want, not go to church, you are sick, you are paralyzed somewhere, spiritually you are dead, but do you know tomorrow, you'll be there. I'm coming to pick you in with my car. So you are so paralyzed that your car is not running, okay, I'll be there tomorrow, very early in the morning. I said, the problem we have in the church is that the church people don't have faith for the people. We put Jesus, that our personal savior, that we don't share him with anybody. It's my personal property. Don't dare touch him. And put him in our inner cabin. Amen? So I want us to give tonight. How many are ready to give? How many were praying that we don't ask giving, that you can buy hamburger outside there? Only one person. So I want us to give.